Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I think you may find it interesting as we walk through this new emphasis. Our emphasis is every member of ministry. It has been for the past 3 weeks. It will be for a few more weeks. I think you may find it interesting that as we walk through this emphasis, that while I have an idea where we're going, each week as we go along the way, and as I seek the Lord, He leads me in a slightly different or slightly deeper place than I realized that He was initially saying. In other words, I knew we were going to start with the body, which is where we started this emphasis, and I also know that we're going to end up with spiritual gifts and exploring spiritual gifts. In the in-between time, I've just endeavored to walk with the Holy Spirit and us, try to see what He's saying, try to see what He is speaking to us. And I just thought you would find that interesting, because here's what I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us during this season, during this time, all times, but also specifically during this time, about ministry, about calling, about being the body of Christ, about making an impact for God's kingdom with God's power for His purposes. And it gives me great confidence. I tell you, we're in the middle of this series or this emphasis, and it gives me great confidence. It gives me great hope when I see what God's doing, when I get your feedback as God is speaking into your life. Now, that being the case, what have we learned so far? Just real quickly, we learned about the body. The context of ministry, the context of spiritual gifts is always the body. There is no context biblically of the use of the gifts or of the moving of the gifts outside of the body of Christ. That you are a unique member. You have this unique place in the body of Christ. You are necessary. You're an integral part of the body of Christ. And collectively, we are Christ's hands and His feet to this world. Then we talked about calling. You remember the need to have our calling anchored not in surface things, not in position or authority, but anchored in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we learned about that from Ephesians, from the book of Ephesians, that how it's necessary that we anchor ourselves, our calling, in the resurrection of Christ. And then last week, we spoke about power. Not mere power, such as the power of men, but authentic power. You remember, we talked about it last week and how that we used the extension cord and plugged it in over here and ran it all the way around, and how that's God's story all the way down through time. He's been moving with His power, and our place is to connect with Him in order that His purposes will be forward. And so we've talked about those things. So that brings us this morning now to what do we do with that? What do we do with that? In other words, since we're the body of Christ, since we are called, since we are connected to authentic power, what is the result? I mean, think about it for a moment. It cannot be that we are His body, that we have a calling on our lives, and we are connected to authentic power and nothing happened. Right? You understand what I'm saying this morning? There's this sense in which if all that we have said so far is true, if we are the body of Christ, if we have a calling on our lives and on our church, if we are connected to authentic power, the power of God for kingdom purposes done in God's way, then there is no such thing as setting and doing nothing. In other words, those things, if they are true, it will produce something in our life. Amen? Something will happen. There is no paradigm. There is no model in which all of those things are true and nothing happens. When God comes and forms and calls us to His body and places a calling in our lives and connects us to authentic power, something's going to change, my friend. Something's going to happen. And so the question is, what do we do with that? What happens? And I want us to spend a few moments in Corinthians this morning. I hope you have your Bibles open. We are going to be in Corinthians, the first chapter. We're going to be there in just a moment. As you're turning there to Corinthians, the first chapter, we're going to read a few verses, but I want to show you something. If you have your Bible open to Corinthians, hold 1 Corinthians, hold it with your rim and hold it with your hand, and turn over to chapter 12. Just real quick, I want to survey this because it's going to lay a groundwork for what I'm going to say at the end, and I want to show it to you now so that it's in your mind, so we have this sense. The book of Corinthians is one of the most complete books or the most, in the book of Corinthians, there's one of the most complete theses, if you will, of the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, there is just, it is just replete to teaching about spiritual gifts. Look at verse, look in chapter 12. Let me just survey this real quick. In chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, we have what we've come to know as the nine classical gifts of the Spirit. You can see them listed there. Miracles and tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and word of knowledge. Those nine classical gifts are there. If you go down a little bit further, verses 12 to 27 talks about unity and diversity in the gifts. Paul is teaching about unity and diversity of the gifts. You go down a little bit further, verses 28 and 30 of chapter 12, you can see that there's another list of various gifts. And so Paul continues to teach about spiritual gifts. You go to verse 31 of chapter 12, and then all the way through verse 13 of chapter 13, Paul talks about a more excellent way. In other words, he says if gifts are going to operate, they're going to operate in the atmosphere of love. That love is going to be there. You go on to chapter 14. If you turn over another page in your Bible to chapter 14, there's this discussion about prophecy, a discussion about tongues, a discussion about interpretation of tongues. Verses 20 through 25 talks about the sign of tongues, what the sign of tongues is. And then down at the end of chapter 14, there's this discussion about order in the church. And so my point of surveying all of that real quickly is this. The book of Corinthians, what we have now come to know as the book of Corinthians, was the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And in this letter contains one of the great theses, one of the great themes is spiritual gifts and them operating in the church. Now, I said all of that to say this. I find it interesting then, since that is where he is headed with this letter, what he is going to talk about, I find it interesting how he started this letter. Turn back with me to chapter 1 and just stay with me for a few moments. I find it because this letter is a rich deposit of teaching about spiritual gifts. And he starts this letter in an interesting way. Let's read it back in chapter 1. Let's read it together. Begin at verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him. In all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus, who will also confirm to you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you have been called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me just quickly, for clarification, let me read this to you in a couple of other translations. The New Living Translation says it this way. I always thank my God for you for the gracious gifts which he has given you that belong to you now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all eloquent words and all knowledge. This confirms what I told you that about Christ is true. You now have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into a partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ. Lay your hands on your Bibles. Let's pray together real quickly. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege we have this morning of standing here. Holy Spirit, we need a word from you. We need you to speak into our hearts. We need you to speak into our lives. It is not enough this morning to just come and have a simple sermon for simple people. We rather, Lord, we want to hear what the Spirit is saying into our hearts and say it into our lives. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I cannot stress enough the importance that you track with me this morning. I want to show you there are three words in the passage of Scripture that we just read. There are three words that are crucial. And it's important that you track with me through those three words because the truth of them, they compound one on the other. And it brings us to the conclusion that I think Paul was saying, and I think it's what the Holy Spirit would have us say this morning. And I want to show you, I want to point those three words out to you. Now stay with me, track with me this morning. The first word is the word grace. There are three words here that are important, three words that are crucial. The first word is the word grace. Watch what it says. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, so that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. During much of this letter, Paul has some tough things that he needs to say to the Corinthians, and he needs them to understand it. But he starts this letter out by reminding them that everything that they have is by grace. It comes by grace. This word grace here is an interesting word. The word grace is the Greek word charis. It is the Greek word charis. It is where we get our word charisma. Charisma. It includes both the state of grace, which is the redemptive work of Christ, and the charismatic gifts that will flow. And I'll speak about that a little bit more in just a few moments. In fact, here's what the Amplified version of this Bible says. I thank my God at all times for you because of the grace, the favor, and spiritual blessing of God which was bestowed upon you in Christ Jesus. Now, two things you know need to know about grace this morning. One thing about grace is this, is the word favor. If you're taking notes, beside the word grace, in parentheses, put the word favor. Word favor, actually, it means, and many of you know this word, you've heard this word before. The word favor means unmerited favor. That's one of the definitions of grace. It's excellent to explain it that way, but you got to understand what does it mean? It means that of no value, of no worth, of no merit of my own did I come into grace. Did I come into Christ? Did I come to know him? In other words, here's what Paul says to Timothy. He says, but when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, turned toward man, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us and washed us, regenerated us and renewing us by the Holy Spirit, and he poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ eternal life which is ours. Many people understand grace or favor, but they stop short of that. Now watch this. Grace is not only unmerited favor that brings me into the relationship that I have with Christ, but grace is more than that. It continues as I walk forward. It continues as I go along. Grace extends not just to how I came into the relationship. Grace extends in my walk with God. In other words, I and you walk in favor with God. As we walk along through life, as we go through life, his favor is there. His favor is upon us. It's not that God just brought me into relationship and then turned and walked away. Rather, he put his arm around me. Amen? He put his arm around me and we walk along together. And I walk in favor with the Lord. In fact, there's an example of that in the New Testament church in the second chapter of Acts. In the second chapter of Acts, you remember when it's talking about at the end of Peter's sermon, at the end of his sermon, it talks about the church, and it says they continue daily, breaking bread and giving thanks and breaking bread together, and watch this, and having favor with God and all men. That word favor there, watch this, is the same word favor that Paul used when he was referring to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the exact same word. In other words, what I'm saying to you this morning is that we are brought into relationship with Christ as favor, and then we walk in that favor. God wants to carry us along, and as he carries us along, we walk in the favor of God. Now track with me. I want you to understand these words because they're going to add up the end and make something. The second word, when it comes to favor, the second part of the word grace is another idea. It is spiritual blessings. In other words, when you say the word grace, you not only they are not only conferring favor, they're conferring spiritual blessing. That's what the Amplified says there. It says, "I thank my God at all times because of the grace, the favor, and the spiritual blessing." Not only does grace reflect favor, it reflects all the spiritual blessings. And notice the context of it. You were enriched in everything by him in all speech and knowledge, or utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ was confirmed in you. The point that what I'm making here is his grace was complete. You were enriched. In other words, when I came into Christ, I wasn't just brought into the relationship and him walk along with me or me walk along with him, but there is spiritual blessing as I walk along. And part of that spiritual blessing, part of that spiritual blessing is the presence of the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. Now, are you tracking with me this morning? You track it. When I say, are you with me this morning, I'm not saying, are you agreeing with me? I want you to track with me as we go through. So the first word is the word grace. And word grace means favor and spiritual blessing. That's how we came into Christ. That describes our relationship in Christ. Now watch this. The second word in this introduction is the word gifts. Gift or gifts. Look at it in verse 7 and 8. Now you have every spiritual gift you need. As you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on that day. The New Living Translation, I love, and that's what I have put up here. The New King James Version says, you come short in no gift. The New Living Translation says this, you have every spiritual gift that you need. Now stop and think about that a moment. That says to us two things when it comes to gifts. One is the gift itself. The word gift here is related to the word grace. The word grace was charis. The word gift here is charismata. Charisma or charismata. It's the same word. There is a connection. Remember, the word grace meant charis. The word spiritual gift here is charismata. It's the same word. Remember we read 1 Corinthians 12, one while ago? And as we look there, what does he say? He said, brethren, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual gifts. That word spiritual gifts there is the same word. It's the same word as he uses here in the first chapter. He's talking about gifts. When he says you come short in no gift, he is referring to the spiritual gifts. Now, what does that mean to me? How does that apply tonight? What difference does that make in my life? Watch this. Paul is connecting grace and gifts. Charisma means a divine gratuity. It means a spiritual endowment. It means a miraculous faculty. It refers both to salvation and to spiritual gifts in our lives. In other words, what Paul is saying is first he says you're walking in grace. And as you walk in grace, you've been brought into the family of God, you walk in the favor of God, and spiritual blessings have been bestowed upon you. Now watch this. Part of those spiritual blessings then are the gifts of the Spirit. I don't think we connect gifts in that way. I think sometimes we almost separate gifts out of our relationship with Christ. You understand that gifts, the operation of spiritual gifts, is a function of your relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, that you have because of His divine power or favor and His spiritual blessing in your life. In other words, the spiritual gifts that are desired so much are not found outside of Christ and your relationship with Christ. They are found only inside your relationship with Christ. This is a side note, but I want to make it here. That's why when you look at someone's life and you look into their and you try to discern whether that is a genuine operation of a gift of the Spirit, when you look into it, that's why you never look at the gift. You always look at the character. Why? Because genuine operation of the spiritual gifts, and that's not the lesson that I'm wanting to teach you this morning, but it's important, it makes a point here. The point that I'm making is that the two of them are connected to together. The gifts of the Spirit is a function of my relationship with Christ. Me operating in the gifts is a function of me having a relationship and walking in relationship with Christ. You operating in your ministry and in your calling is a function of you of your relationship with Christ. That's why it does matter what kind of person the person is. It does matter what kind of character they have. It does matter what kind of life they live. It does matter who they are in the dark when nobody's watching. When nobody's seeing, it does matter. I didn't have this in my notes, but it just flabbergasted me what has happened in the last two decades when it comes to the church and some of the spiritual leaders, quote unquote, some of the spiritual leaders, and it just dumbfounds me when you look and you see some of the fall, some of the moral and ethical fall, and yet nobody checks up. Nobody stopped. Nobody. There is no checking up. In the last two decades or so, it seems like we had a period where leaders fail and their ministries fail as well. And that was tragic. That was sad. It was tragic. Let me tell you what's even more tragic. As odd as this may sound, what's even more tragic is that the moral or the ethical failure is there and the ministry just goes on as though nothing's ever happened. Nobody ever checks up. Nobody ever says, whoa, wait a minute, something's not right here. It's like we have disconnected the operation of the spiritual gifts and the call of God from who the person, who the individual is. I'm telling you, they are connected one to the other. And unless there's a rich, full, intimate, honest, holy relationship with Christ, you are not operating in authentic power. Amen? There is a connection, and it seems like the last two decades we've lost that connection. I don't have to call names. My goodness, I had no intentions of going here this morning. I don't have to call names, but you've seen it. You've seen it over and over where just about 4 years ago, a couple down in Orlando, Florida, they split wide open, split a $45 million empire. Their third divorce, both of them, their third divorce, and both of them went right on as though nothing ever happened. Hello? There is something wrong with that, my friend. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong in the church when we don't connect the gift with the person. Holiness always matters. Holiness matters. It makes a difference. The reason that is crucial this morning is this, is there is a connection. Paul makes the connection between grace and gifts. Your relationship, the favor that you walk in with God is connected to the gifts operating in your life. And here's the incredible thing. When you are in relationship with Christ, then there is a fullness. If you wrote the word gifts down in parenthesis beside it, put fullness. I love what the New Living Translation there says. You have every spiritual gift you need. I don't think we fully appreciate that. I don't think we fully and completely appreciate the gifts of the Spirit. I think that sometimes people, when they look at the gifts of the Spirit, I find in many circles, there seems to be two evidences of a lack of appreciation for the gifts of the Spirit. One is there are some who feel they are unnecessary. And you've heard that teaching. That's nothing new to most of you. There are some that feel like the spiritual gifts are unnecessary or that they are for a time in the past, that they do not operate anymore. There are some on the other end of the spectrum that treat spiritual gifts like they are some spiritual toy. Come on now. Like they're just some spiritual toy. Can I tell you? The gifts of the Spirit are neither unnecessary, nor are they some spiritual trinket. They are a function of the Holy Spirit in us because we are in relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. That's the gifts. And there is this fullness of the gifts. Jackie, I don't lack anything that I need. What God has called me to do, what He's put me on a mission to do, the ministry, Beverly, that He has placed in my life, I have, by the Holy Spirit, all that I need to accomplish all that He has called me to do. Now, must I grow in that? Absolutely. Must I sharpen that skill? Absolutely. Is there room for me to grow and improve? Oh, yes. In fact, just ask my family. They'll tell you there's room for me to grow and improve. But there is the seed of what God wants to do is already there. The fullness of it is already there. It's you have no shortage in Him. No shortage in Him. Now, watch this now. I wanted us to track through. The first word was grace. The second word was gift. Where grace talks about favor and spiritual blessing, gifts refers to that charisma, those gifts of the Spirit, and there is a fullness of them. That brings me to where I want to spend just the rest of the time we have together this morning. And it is the word fellowship. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Paul sets the charismata or the charisma. He sets spiritual gifts in the framework of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now that word's important. That word is crucial to what we're wanting to, for what I think the Holy Spirit wants us to see this morning. The word fellowship there actually has two meanings. It comes from two Greek words. Many of you probably have heard both of these Greek words, but let me just share them with you just a moment. The first word is the word quanos. Quanos. It means a sharer, an associate, a companion. In other words, when we read God is faithful who has called you into the fellowship of his son Jesus Christ, it's saying that you have been called into companionship. Companionship. Fellowship is companionship with him. In fact, isn't that precisely what Jesus promised? Jesus said, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, my Father will love him and he and I will come and make our home with him. We will be in fellowship with him, in companionship with him. Do you understand? God is faithful and he has called you into a companionship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the promise of the Holy Spirit too. Remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? When he comes, he will dwell with you and will be in you, and he will show you all things to come. He will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. In fact, he goes even further than that. He says, when he comes, the world cannot receive him, but you shall have him. And he shall be with you, upon you, with you, and in you. You are walking. You understand this morning that fellowship means companionship with Jesus Christ. That there is a part of the fellowship is that he and I are companions one with another. Now watch this. The second word, the first word is the word quanos, which means companionship. The second word is a word that many of you probably have heard. It is the word koinonia. It means partnership. Watch this now. Watch this. Fellowship means companionship and partnership. In fact, the Amplified Bible says just that. The Amplified Bible says God is faithful and he called you into companionship and participation or partnership with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, pause here for a second. Here's what I want you. Do you realize what he is saying? Do you realize what it means to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand that this is a divine partnership, and it is a divine privilege that you and I are in relationship with him? The last thing in the book of Mark, the last thing that is mentioned is this very thing. In the book of Mark, where Mark is recording what has happened, and all of you know the charge in Matthew 16, go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You remember all of that? It's recorded also in Matthew. In the last verse of the book of Mark says this, and the Lord worked with them. What is that? That is fellowship. Fellowship is not just Christ and I walking along together in favor. Is there favor? Absolutely there's favor. Am I walking along in grace? Absolutely I'm walking along in grace. Am I walking along in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit? Grace is there. Yes, gifts are there. But there's also fellowship. You understand? And that fellowship means companionship and partnership. What I mean by that is this. Sometimes we forget that God's grace comes into our life. His gifts comes into our life because he wants to enter into a divine companionship and a divine partnership with you and I. Let me see if I can illustrate what I'm trying to say, what the point that I'm trying to make this morning. I need a couple of individuals, and I want to tie all of this together. I need a couple of individuals to help me. I need one to come and set in a chair. Now, don't everybody volunteer at once. There we go. I need one of you to sit in the chair. I don't know. You just stand over to the side. Now watch this. I'm going to try to connect all of this together. Remember now the three words: grace, gifts, and fellowship. And fellowship meaning companionship and partnership. And the whole point we're trying to make this morning, what we're trying to see this morning, is what difference does this make when it comes to every member being a minister? What difference does it make in the context of what we're talking about when it comes to spiritual gifts and our ministries and our callings? What this means is when you realize that there is, yes, I'm in relationship with Christ. There is grace in my life. The gifts are there in my life. And when I come, let's say David is a person in need. Now watch this. What this means is because I'm in companionship with Christ, what it means is that when I come to David as a person in need, come here, Ernest, watch this. Because I am in companionship with Christ, when I am here operating in the spiritual gifts, Christ is there. Do you see it? You understand, Christ is there. Christ is present. When I'm ministering to a person, maybe I'm operating in the gift of intercession. You understand that the two, they're not separated. Grace, gifts, and fellowship are all connected one with the other, that God might touch that individual, that he might change that life, that he might impact that life. Because I walk in grace and in favor, and because there are spiritual blessings of the gifts of the Spirit in my life, when I minister to David, David gets the benefit of the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life and in your life. Now watch this. The second part of that is this. Not only is Christ present, but because there's a divine partnership, not only is he present, there is also power. You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? There is power that is present. Power that is present. In other words, I'm not standing here trying to minister to David and to meet his needs, to speak to him, to give him counsel, to give him a word of wisdom or a note of knowledge, or maybe to give him leadership or administrate something in his life. I'm not standing there in my own power. Because there is grace and because there are gifts, then there is the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, not only is he present, but his power is there to meet the need that is in David's life. Lord, for go stand over there. Lord forbid that I stand here on my own. Lord forbid that David need a touch from God and I can't touch God. Lord forbid that I try to minister to him or to meet his need in and of myself. Not only will David leave with his need not met, but I will be totally insufficient for the task. But thanks be to God, as Paul said, that I walk in companionship and partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ so that God can move in that life. Do you understand what we're talking about this morning? What we're talking about this morning, I think that maybe up to this point, some of these ideas and thoughts have been abstract. But for me this week, God solidified them. He brought them down to see, look, all of this is connected. It is all connected to each other. Now, there's something that is slightly wrong with this illustration. Because this is the way that we see it, and there is some truth in it. But it actually is slightly different and more powerful. More powerful than even that. And here it is. We think, Ernest, go stand over there. We think, now David is sitting in the chair, representing the person in need. Ernest is standing over there, representing Christ. Now I know some of you have a hard time with that illustration. I know some of you have a hard time with that illustration. But what we think is, I am here ministering, and Christ comes. Watch this. And we have partnership and companionship with the Lord. But that's actually not the way it happens. The way it happens is this. Christ is already there. Are you with me this morning? Christ, the person that is in need, Christ is already there. Somebody that needs a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, or maybe they need somebody to lay hands on them and pray the prayer of faith. Maybe they need somebody to join with them and they're believing for something that's impossible and they need somebody that the gift of faith operates in to come alongside. What? God's already there. Listen, maybe David needs some counsel. He needs somebody to bring some wisdom, some insight into his life. Christ is already there. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe he needs to have a word from the Lord that will help him to administrate a business or something. Christ is already there. Maybe he needs somebody that can show him kindness or can show him hospitality, one of the gifts that is there. Christ is already there. The privilege is this. The privilege is that you and I, that Christ calls unto us to come into companionship with him, into partnership with him, and through us then he will meet the need, minister to the heart, change the person, bring the power and the presence of God. It's my divine privilege to listen to the call of God, and he calls me into that relationship that the need might be met. Jesus is already there. He's already present. He's already on the scene. What he is looking for is a man or woman of God that will listen to the call of the Spirit, that will say, would you come join me? Would you come and lay your hands on him? Would you come and be a kind face in his face? Would you come and be an arm that will lift up his hands? Would you come and be an encouragement to him? Would you come along and pray the prayer of faith? Would you come along out of companionship and partnership with me? Will you join me? I'm determined to change the world, and I'll give you the privilege to be a part of it. Amen. Amen. I give you the privilege. Jesus is already there. That's why he called me. Now, I'm not discounting salvation. By no means whatsoever. None of this happens without salvation. I'm not discounting salvation. I'm saying that God's call of favor and grace in my life calls me into relationship with him. So, and he then puts every spiritual blessing, that's what the word says, every spiritual blessing in my life, that I not only experience that grace, but the person in need does too. That I not only walk in favor, but the person in need does too. Now watch this. Do you understand then how important it is that when we walk in relationship with Christ, that we understand we're walking in favor and we're walking in spiritual blessing because God has something he is up to. He has something he is about to do. He has something that he wants to accomplish. There are people all through your lives. Thank you, guys. You can just leave the chair there. You understand, don't you, this morning? Your lives are full of people who are sitting in this chair. Sitting in this chair. Virginia people walk in. They walk in Miller's garage every day. And I know they walk in, but they're actually sitting in this chair. You understand what I mean this morning? They're actually sitting in this chair. They're actually sitting there, and when they walk in, Christ is there. He is present, and he's looking for somebody in the room. He's looking for somebody in the business that will join in companionship and partnership with him that he might touch that life and change them in an incredible, phenomenal way. Here's what's phenomenal about it. He can do it without me. He doesn't have to have me to touch this life. He doesn't have to have me. He doesn't have to have me to stand in it. He could do it without me. Oh, but the divine invitation to enter into companionship and partnership with him, that the privilege that he would actually use my hands or use my mouth or use my smile or use my talent or use my gift to touch a life. Oh my goodness, it's not just a divine invitation. It's a divine privilege of mine to participate with him. Amen. Beverly, in that surgery, oh yeah, there are a lot of people that come in there on those gurneys, but they're in this chair. They're sitting in this chair. And the thing that concerns them the most, some of them, yes, are most concerned about the doctor's report, but some of them are concerned about a higher report. And they need somebody. And the privilege that God would use a smile from you or a word from you or encouragement from you to speak into the... He invites you. Would you come, Beverly? I want to touch that life. I want to change that person. Would you come and join hands with me and join hands with them that there might be the divine connection to the power of Almighty God? Somebody that in your neighborhood... There's somebody in your neighborhood, Stacy, that is sitting in that chair. They feel that nobody loves them and nobody cares about them and nobody could give a rip. If they died today, nobody would know or even care. And the privilege that Jesus is standing, you understand, don't you? Jesus is standing right by that person. They just can't see him. They can't hear him. They can't feel him. What he's looking around for is somebody that will come and will be his hands. Somebody that'll be his face. Somebody that'll be his feet. Somebody that'll be his person there. The body of Christ present that he might speak encouragement and love and compassion and mercy into that life that they he might connect them to the power of Almighty God. See, you have, because you are in relationship with Christ, because you walk in favor and have spiritual blessings, you have every gift you need because you're in relationship with Him. And every gift you need is needed. Do you see it? You have every gift you need. And every gift you need is needed. All that God is looking for is someone that will enter into that companionship and partnership, that fellowship with Him. We're going to spend some time talking about specific gifts, what they are, what they mean, how they operate, some things we need to know about them, some cautions. There are cautions with every gift. We're going to spend some time talking about that. But outside of the fellowship of Jesus Christ, none of that matters. It is only within the context of companionship and partnership with Him that any of this matters. But oh, it matters. It is necessary. It is crucial. It is vital. If TRC is going to be the church God called it to be, and it is going to be. Amen? It is going to be. And if you are going to be the person, the minister that God has called you to be, it will be within the context of relationship, fellowship, companionship, partnership with God. So here's my challenge to you this morning. Here's the challenge to you this morning. That you begin to see, I don't think many have grasped that that's what spiritual gifts are about. Listen, the church world today thinks spiritual gifts are about a whole lot of other stuff that has nothing to do with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is about the person that's sitting in this chair and about Christ standing there with them. And about Him looking for somebody that's willing to be in fellowship with Him, in companionship with Him, in partnership with Him, that He might touch, change, transform, heal, encourage, uplift that life. That's what spiritual gifts are about. So this morning, here's my challenge. This is what I felt the Holy Spirit saying to challenge and leave with the people this morning. I want you to begin to rethink your calling, your ministry, your spiritual gifts. And I want you to begin to see them in relation to fellowship. Because the special fellowship we have with Christ is one of companionship and partnership. It is full of presence and power. Amen? Let me say that again. The special fellowship we have with Christ is one of companionship and partnership. And it is full of presence and power. And I want you to begin to rethink. Why has God called me as a leader? Why has God given me the gift of administration? Why does God use me to speak words of wisdom or words of knowledge? Why might tongues interpretation, why might they flow through my life? It's because I have a special fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That fellowship is a companionship and a partnership. And because of the companionship and the partnership, His presence is there and His power is there. God wants to do something phenomenal. God wants to do something incredible in your life and in my life and in the life of TRC and in the life of the communities where we reside, in the places where we work, places we frequent, the restaurants we go to, the schools we attend. God wants to do something phenomenal there because there are a lot of people sitting in this chair. He's looking for a man, for a woman, a teenager, a boy, a girl that will stand with Him in fellowship, in companionship and partnership, that He might transform their world. Amen? That's what it's about, church. That's what it's about. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants Audrey to stand right here. He wants Clive to stand right here. He wants Elvina to stand right here. He wants Joy to stand right here. He wants Caselyn to stand right here. He wants Christian to stand right here. To join hands with Him and join hands with them. That indeed, the power and presence of God might be known in their lives. To that I say amen. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Holy Spirit, I call to you today. Except that you take what has been said here this morning and plant it as seed in our lives, so that this afternoon and tomorrow and next week and the weeks that are ahead, that we grasp and understand that there is this divine partnership, this divine fellowship, that is the instrument by which you want to touch and change and transform the world. Unless we grasp that, Lord, then, Lord, lives will go untouched by us. Lives, you will send someone else. You will use someone else. Or perhaps, Lord, someone will be in a place in need, Lord, far longer than they ought to be. There is an urgency. There's a great call. Oh, but Lord, if we understand, if we grasp this, if this reality of truth begins to resonate in our hearts, Lord, and we begin to realize that, yes, you're calling us to that fellowship. You're calling us to that companionship. You're calling us to that partnership. Then, Lord, you will indeed begin, Lord, to call those gifts to the surface, that the need in every person's life, Lord. Lord, let us sense and know that we are fully equipped in every spiritual gift, and that every spiritual gift is needed. Because the world is looking for someone. The world is looking for someone. They're looking for you, Lord, and they don't even know it. And we can be your hands. We can be your feet. We can be your face, your heart to a world that needs you so desperately. Lord, I pray that as we continue to move forward in this emphasis, as we continue to move forward, that you will resonate these lessons in our heart. That indeed, Lord, we will stand up and be all that you've called us to be. In divine companionship, divine partnership with you. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at me before you move. I want to encourage you this morning. As you walk out, as you go, remember, you've been called to a divine companionship, a divine partnership, and it is a divine privilege to have been called so. Amen. Amen. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. I love you. God bless you.